Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. Well, I don't know about you, but one of my favorite topics to talk about is food. Yes. Who isn't interested in food? I don't know of anybody that isn't. And so many of us are on budgets, and we often wonder, how can we fix good food, satisfy whatever it is our family and friends enjoy, as well as ourselves, and do it relatively inexpensively? Well, my guest today, I know you'll enjoy her. Her name is Elizabeth Fisher, and I absolutely love the cover on her book. And her book is titled Dining with a Dollar Diva, and has dollar signs, you know, all over the place. But the diva that's on the cover is so svelte, she even has a pink chef cap. It is absolutely wonderful. She said divalicious menus with ingredients costing a dollar or less. Elizabeth, welcome to the show.
Hi, Donna. How are you today?
Well, I'm absolutely wonderful. Now, I want my listeners to know that cooking is a passion of yours. You've just absolutely loved it. You have two sons, Mark and Harold. And boy, when you got two kids growing up, of course, now your sons are full grown and out on their own. However, they always have appetites. I always joke with my clients, if they have upcoming teenagers, I say, great, you better take stock in a grocery store because you're going to need it. You love to cook and eat, and you just had the best time putting this book together. And in your part of the country, where are you located, by the way?
I'm located in Bremer, Pennsylvania. That's the suburbs of Philadelphia.
Well, the people of Philadelphia have hearty appetites, and they are known for really liking good food, as
that's
I think
true.
Just about everybody. But, I mean, really, the people in Philly, that is something that's very, very important to them, especially home, families and getting together and this type of thing. And you have hosted, for the 4th of July, an annual get-together. You've done this for over 20 years. And now there's like over 100 people that turn out for this every year. How in the world did that ever get started?
Well, actually, I'm going to say my son has just turned 30 last July, and his birthday is on the 4th, July 4th.
Uh-huh.
And it started with just a little tiny hibachi on our front porch, and his friends would come over for hot dogs and hamburgers, and then it kind of blossomed to where it was like, oh, let me try putting a roast on the grill. And I bought a larger kettle, you know, barbecue grill, and then larger pieces of meat and salmon and things like that would end up on the grill. People would walk by and smell it, and I would say, oh, come on over. You know, we're just celebrating Marcus's birthday. And then it became a family thing where my family started coming over. And after that, my son got older. He had friends that were driving, you know, my friends,
mm-hmm.
our cousins, brothers and sisters. And before we knew it, it basically has become a block party.
Wow. And that's fabulous. Those used to be so much in vogue. And they've sort of, I think they're starting to come back here in the Pacific
North. I do too.
There
yes.
are some neighborhoods that they say, this is what we're doing, and they just block the street off. The kids are out in the street
mm-hmm.
playing like it was. I mean, I had a very dear friend, Sal, who was Italian, was raised in New York, and he said, when I was growing up, there was no such thing as a Greek neighborhood or an Italian neighborhood or a Jewish neighborhood. Everybody and anybody was there. And he said, we were all out on the street playing.
Exactly.
We were doing all kinds of activities,
exactly.
and the moms would watch out over the kids. He said, we couldn't get away with anything. He said, we were still
no.
But
that's
anyway,
true.
Getting back to this love of food. Now, you credit your dad. You
yes.
said your dad, his name was Nathaniel Donald Fisher.
Correct.
And
yes.
your dad was very much aware, as so many people have been through many experiences. I've gone through it, where you really have to watch every penny, nickel, dime,
mm-hmm.
and quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And he would shop, you said in your book, he'd shop at the A&P stores.
Yes.
And they had what you called red, white, and black boxes.
Yes.
Now, tell us what those red, white, and black boxes were.
They were the generic brand. I mean, they weren't even like the store brand. They were, you know, maybe odds and ends of like batch lots that different manufacturers of whatever product, food product, had produced. And they, you know, would package them, I guess, you know, to make sure that they were packaged, you know, very inexpensively. They weren't putting, you know, a lot of money into, you know, the actual packaged item, into the labeling or whatever. So it would just be a carton with, you know, a label that would just say cornflakes. You know, so there would be no mistake. There would be, you know, no celebrity that would be holding up, you know, a picture of the product, you know, printed on the actual package or anything like that. I mean, it was generic. It was basic. It was the bare bones. And my dad could, you know, pick up one of those and one of those cartons, whether it was macaroni and cheese, whether it was some type of rice or some type of cereal or whatever, and, you know, Daddy could put his spin on it that you felt that you were eating at the Waldorf Astoria.
I've known a lot of people that have done that. And I know here in the Pacific Northwest, there are stores, and I don't see them as prevalent as before. Of course, now we're going to be talking about the dollar store in just a minute. But there were stores where people could buy, and I remember one being in our neighborhood a few years back until the Costco came into full form. But you could buy canned food and other things that were still within the expiration time, but they had not moved within a certain time frame. And it was literally pennies. You could buy all kinds of vegetables. It wasn't so much frozen, but it was the canned and other items. And people were going in there, and sometimes people would say, gee, I don't think I'd want to shop in there. That's embarrassing to go there. But you go, wait a minute, excuse me. If this is good food and you need to feed people, and if you want to donate to your food bank, my heavens, why not go in there? What's
why not go in there? People don't understand that they are passing up on some very good bargains and very good, you know, really they're not shopping with their head. That's the only way that I can say it. I know when I moved back to this area, I, you know, lived in Washington, D.C. for about 11 years. When I moved back into this area, I was living in Germantown. And there was this store, and it was the exact same thing, you know, concept that you were talking about. You know, the entire store shelves were lined with canned goods or bottled goods. You know, and I used to see it, and I never knew what that store was. And I would see people coming out, and they had big smiles on their faces, though. And then one day, I just went ahead. I had some time on my hands, and I went in there. And I'm going to tell you, I was, like, in canned food and juice heaven. You know, at the time my son was younger, so, you know, he would go through, you know, a bottle of juice or a bottle of punch or, you know, whatever in a matter, in a heartbeat. So when I went in there and I would see the exact same product, and like you said, you know, it may have been like 1 month to expiration date or whatever, but it wasn't going to last out the week if it was in my house. So it was, you know, why not buy something that was $1.99 compared to going to a supermarket or something like that and paying like $4 and $3.99 for it, you know? I'm pocketing $2. It was a no-brainer. So I started shopping at those stores.
And so many people today are out of work. And I can remember a time when my income was all of $82 a week.
I
was on unemployment. And I was able to manage shopping. And I had a girlfriend. She said, I don't get it. I really don't get it. I come over here, and I'm having good food, and you even have people over for something to eat. You're only making $82 a week, and my husband and I are both bringing in incomes, which were like 10 times or 100 times what I was making at the time.
Okay.
And she said, we still can't balance the budget.
Right.
How do you do this?
Right, right. It's an art to it, Donna.
You know, it's just, it's one of these things that you cannot really understand what other people are going through.
Right.
But there is this thing called word of mouth, and we women are so good at this. And that is, hey, I don't know if you're aware, but there's this store. People can save face, but you tell them. It's like when I found out about the stores that have day-old bread or something like this. Woo, this is terrific. I can stick something in a freezer, and then I can do this with it or that with it. And that's what I loved about your book. Because you had so many fun things in here. And my goodness, people that have families, it's the idea. You want to be able to feed your family. Now, you've got to tell me how you got hooked on the dollar stores.
I guess I was the fifth of five. Both of my parents were domestics. We lived on a minimal budget as well growing up. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, I'm the bargain hunter, you know, I believe in buying things on sale. And to me, you know, I find joy in when someone will come over to me and say, hey, I bought this carton of orange juice. It was on sale for $2.99, and I know I went to the store that's a little ways from me, and they're selling the same thing for 99 cents, you know. You know, sale, bargain. I love to eat, cook, and shop. So all that in a nutshell is one way that, you know, this particular Dining with a Dollar Diva came into effect.
Now, what's amazing about your book is that it was taken to the dollar store management. They loved your book so much that 54,000 of them were sold?
Yes.
Wasn't that exciting for you?
Yes, yes, it was. Donna, I have always been like the brunt of a cheapskate, being frugal, being tight, being stingy type. You know, and at first, you know, I was a little sensitive to it. But then, like I said, when I started thinking of it, it's like, yeah, you know, I'm paying less for this, but then I can go out and treat myself to a nice meal or to a nice piece of jewelry or, you know, whatever, or just save. And, you know, and also enabled me to, you know, pay the bills. And I also put my son through college. So being frugal, being tight, being a spendthrift, you know, did come in handy.
And I think that learning how to do these things and teaching our kids how to do it and understand nobody really is going to care that you paid 99 cents for something instead of $5.
There are
ways of doing this, and I don't know of any generation. I was talking with a woman who's almost 90 years of age and knowing what she had to go through during the Second World War. And all of these things, people have had to do this. This is nothing new, but we have got something called the dollar store now.
You have to be creative.
Yeah, you have to be creative, but it doesn't mean that you cannot do something that's good, that's attractive, and you can feel proud of what you present to friends and to family. And they're going to have food in their stomach, and it's going to be healthy for them. Now, I know this isn't a raw food diet. That's not what we're looking at here. You have all kinds of recipes in here, and you give some Dollar Diva tips throughout the book, and I really, really like them.
Well, thank
you. One of the things that you brought out that was very important, and I've observed this having been in more than one dollar store. Yes, folks, I do shop at the dollar stores. I do have fun there. Yahoo!
Wonderful.
Have identical basic inventory. Now, I know there are different dollar stores under different names, so I know that there are differences between a few. But if you have a dollar store with a particular title, then they will carry the similar inventory.
That's correct.
You will find it. And if you find that, gee whiz, maybe one's running out, you might be able to go to another. When you started going into the food section, and I think because of your book, that I started looking at the food section differently. Because that's never been my focus, to go into the food section.
Okay, that's wonderful to hear.
That, you know, that is something that I thought, wow, I hadn't even given consideration to the fact that they carry such a diversified amount of food products.
Okay.
And so that was a very good point that I learned. You know, that I'm not saying I wasn't aware of it, but it's just like, well, they just have some canned items and that's it, and I just would walk by.
Right.
Now you talk also, you give some very good tips for those of you that are out there trying to really be efficient with your dollar. Your local supermarkets often have 10 for $10 sales.
That's
and
correct.
Their ads. And I think any shopper that's born to shop will always do that. But what do I know? Lots of times people aren't aware of it. They don't think they're making that good of a deal. But again, have a handy-dandy little calculator with you. And if you really want to sometime, just go out to stores and see what really works. Sometimes it's more effective to buy at a big big box warehouse place, but other times it's not. And so you have to pay attention. But
absolutely.
You talk about the local produce stands. Check them out for their bargains. And that is such a good tip. You have all kinds of wonderful tips in here. But mm-hmm. I wanted you to share a recipe. It's
okay.
Munster cheese with marmalade in a puff pastry. Now, when I saw that, that was the very first one in the book. I said, okay, this is good. You talked about it for Christmas parties. This is good for any party.
This it is.
Good for something that somebody drops in and you go, oh, what would I like to fix?
Mm-hmm.
You fix this one. So tell my audience how this is done.
Okay, this particular recipe came about through my Aunt Barbara, who I feel is like just the best cook on the main line. She really is. And
wow.
every now and then she kind of takes me under her wing and kind of shows me, as you know, a lot of the recipes that she makes. One of the ones that she had, we both attend the same church, and we belong to an organization in the church called the Sterling Club. And that's a group of what I call the Grand Dames of Bethel Bryn Mawr. And there, it's filled with, you know, very classy senior members of, mm-hmm. of the church. And, you know, when you go to one of their meetings, because we usually have dinner meetings where we discuss our business, they feed you until you can't even think straight. That's
mm-hmm.
all I can tell you. So at one of the Christmas parties that we had, excuse me, Aunt Barbara cooked, made one of the hors d'oeuvres, which was a baked brie that was in a puff pastry. And I'm saying, okay, now how can I put my spin on this that I would be able to, you know, like maybe cut this recipe, the amount of this recipe in half? And that's when the local supermarket started doing a 10 for 10 sale with the different mm-hmm. blocks of cheeses. So it would be cheddar cheese, sharp cheese, mozzarella, Swiss, or whatever. So I'm looking at these cheeses and looking what would be a good melting cheese. And one of them was, you know, obviously the mozzarella or the Monterey Jack. And I can do 1,001 things with the refrigerated biscuit dough. So you could use that or, you know, depending upon the dollar store that you're in, if they have, like, the pie crust, that they sell those for a dollar, or if your local supermarket is doing a 10 for 10 with the pie crust, you could use those. And they always have the jellies or the jams or the preserves at the dollar store. I always see them there. So I was kind of putting everything together, and I'm saying to myself, I think I can condense this, that we're looking at only paying $3 for this hors d'oeuvre that normally could cost you over $10.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I just got rolled the pie crust, the biscuit dough out, put the block of cheese on there, then spread over the orange marmalade, folded it over, kind of crimped the edges, baked it in the oven, took it out. It was absolutely positively delicious. Put it on a nice platter that, you know, I can either get from the dollar store or from a local thrift shop or something like that, and sliced fruit and crackers, and it just looks as elegant as anything that could be served to you in some upscale restaurant.
It is really attractive. So let me give you the exact amounts that she has in her book.
Okay.
Of course, you can go to the dollar store and you can buy her book, but I'm going to give it to you anyway.
Okay.
8 ounces of block Munster cheese. You cut it in 1-inch cubes or any
mm-hmm.
other soft cheese, and you need 1 pie crust, 4 ounces of orange marmalade. Your oven has to be hot at 425
yes.
degrees. And you take you can either use biscuits that are refrigerated biscuits, or you can use your pie crust. You want to prepare it and put your cheese cubes in the center of that crust that you're going to use. And you top the cheese, as she said, with your preserves.
Mm-hmm.
And then you fold the pie crust edges over one another so that the cheese is totally covered. And then you bake it for 20 minutes. The crust is nice and brown. The cheese inside is going to be ooey gooey and soft.
Yes.
And serve it just like she suggested. So you don't have to do certain things. And I think I would just add one other little tip. If you wanted to have like a glaze on it, beat
mm-hmm.
an egg white and
yes.
brush it over
yes.
the crust. And that'll
yes.
give it a little bit of a glossy
look. Sheen. Mm-hmm.
A little sheen.
And you know something else, Donna? Now in the dollar store, they also have available little small, I believe they're like 3-ounce packages of walnuts, pecans, and the slivered almonds.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can put those slivered almonds in that.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That kind of, kicks it up a little bit. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Takes it up a notch.
See,
yes.
With this simple recipe in her book, and that's what you're going to enjoy about this book. So you need to look for it when you go to the dollar store anyway. But she's also got a website, and I'm going to give you information on that. Now, people enjoy dip, and you have a dip in here, hot queso dip with tomatoes and sausage.
That's a favorite. That's a crowd pleaser, too.
Well, I'll tell you, what really pleased me is that you weren't using Velveeta. So this is something you've got all kinds. You say right there at the dollar store, you've got all kinds of little 8-ounce plastic containers of different
mm-hmm.
types of things. Mm-hmm. So you said grab about two cheese dips of your choice and a 3-ounce bag of either cheddar or mozzarella cheese in the refrigerated section.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got a cheese dip.
Yes.
You say you're going to be in cheese dip heaven.
Yeah, it's a hot cheese dip. And one of the things that you know, that I'd like to point out, too, in the dollar store, a lot of times people will kind of turn their nose up, you know, with dollar store products. But if you go in there, you're going to see some brand names in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there is a difference. There are two types of shredded cheese that you'll see in there. You will see, like, the imitation processed cheese, which if you want to get that, that's fine. But they also have the actual, and I don't know if I'm allowed permitted to, you know, say a brand name, but they do have some very well nationally known brand name shredded, you know, cheeses in there as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
mm-hmm.
you have your choice.
Well, there's all kinds of stuff in here. But let's talk about this dip, because I don't know of very many people, unless they're not meat eaters, that really would not enjoy this. And if you don't
mm-hmm.
like meat, you don't have to put it in. But
mm-hmm.
let's give my audience the recipe that you have in
here. Okay.
Now, I think you take a roll of loose sausage. You
mm-hmm.
put this in. You said there was an original recipe. Who'd you get this recipe from?
This recipe goes back more years than I cared to own up to, but it was the young lady that I worked with. When she would bring in, as I said, this is a crowd pleaser. When she would bring this dip in, everybody would just sit around her desk. We did no work until it was gone.
Mm-hmm.
Simple
well, I guess
as that.
That's a testimonial.
It really
good.
Is.
Yes,
and she
good.
Just said, oh, it's really easy to make, you know. And
mm-hmm.
excuse me, she said, she didn't even do it over the stove. She did it all in the microwave. And I'm like, you have to be kidding.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you would get the cheese spread. You would take that. You would melt it. And then, you know, you would kind of like maybe put it in the microwave for a minute or two or whatever and then stir it and then put it back in there and let it, you know, heat for a couple of minutes and then stir it again. And then while you're doing that, excuse me, you have the opportunity to, you know, if you're going to put the meat in it, then you would brown either the sausage or the ground turkey, which, again, you can find in the dollar store. You also can find the rolls of them, like, in the big box stores as well. And then you would put the onions and the peppers, that type of thing, and then allow it to melt, and you have your dip.
Mm-hmm. And all of this, again, is in her book. And this is Dining with the Dollar Diva. Now, she goes in. We're talking about a couple of advertisers. But she has in here a tilapia roll-up. You've got all kinds of meat and different dips, a mock lobster pie. You've got chicken recipes. She's just put so many goodies in here, plus, you know, desserts of all kinds. One of my husband's favorite desserts on the planet is cream brulee. He just absolutely loves it. And you've got it in here. You've got a cream brulee that is just very inexpensive to make, and it has been very successful. You've just got all of these little goodies that you've put together, apricot scones, peach melba, recipes that so many people are familiar with that can be fixed very inexpensively. What made you decide to put together this book, Dining with a Dollar Diva?
My publisher, I had approached her. I grew up with her, and she wrote a book back in 2004, I believe it was, or 2006. And, you know, my son, who just has been my biggest champion, he really has, my original taste tester, you know,
mm-hmm.
said, Mom, you really should write a cookbook. You really should write a cookbook. And I'm like, yeah, whatever, whatever. And one of the things was he would just see me in the kitchen, and he would see me throwing this in a pot, that in a pot, because I'm, a dumping poor girl, you know, like with the book. The hardest part of writing the book, if I can just interject this, was the fact that I had to measure. Because
mm-hmm.
I am a dumping poor girl. And he would just see me in the kitchen, you know, looking, you know, at different items. And next thing you know, I'm up either throwing them in a bowl and giving them to eat or, you know, on the stove or whatever.
And he was like, Mom, you really need to write a cookbook. You know, I can't believe you made this out of this. You really need to write a cookbook. You know, and then I would say, Marcus, I made this for X amount of dollars. So it wasn't even then so much that it was dealing with the dollar store. It was just how I was able to, you know, get ingredients and put them together and have a really nice dish.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, short story long, I did approach my girlfriend who was the publisher and told her I wanted to write a cookbook. And she said, fine. And then I ran into her a little later. I belonged to a scholarship organization. Her daughter was being awarded one of our scholarships, and I leaned over and I said, you know, I shop like at the dollar store a lot. You know, I'm very conspiratorial, you know, and mm-hmm. I really want to write a dollar, and I literally was then calling it the dollar store cookbook. And she kind of looked at me, and she said, I want you to do me a really big favor. I want you to put that other book on the back burner. And I want you to write this book. I said, dealing with the economy today. She said, Elizabeth, that book will just be a trendsetter. She said, I really, really want you to start on that. So that's how this, you know, it got started. So I would go into my local dollar store and I would just kind of like stand in the aisles with my, as you said, my calculator, my pen and a pad, all purchased from the dollar store.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just be looking at, okay, if I'm looking at this, then I can get this and then I can get that and I can make this. So then I started thinking of different dishes and desserts and entrees and appetizers that, you know, family and friends have made and how I could put my spin on it where the price would be significantly less.
Mm-hmm.
Creme brulee is one of those. And, I know you read this story. That's one of the oldest member of our church. That is one of her favorite desserts, that whenever you come into her home and when she has her dinners, her meals, she's one of our grand dames. You're going to have creme brulee. And I wanted to, you know, pay homage to her and, you know,
mm-hmm.
out of respect for her cooking skills and entertaining skills that I've kind of, you know, absorbed over the years.
Well, I think it's marvelous. And your friend who said, do this book first was absolutely
mm-hmm.
right, because so many people are having such a tough time today.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
what they need to realize is that preparation of good food can still be done.
Yeah.
I have memories
Thank you,
when
Donna.
I was growing up with an uncle who had four children to support, and his wife was just working full-time at home. She couldn't do much of anything else because those kids had to be watched because they were all one right after the other. And I remember sometimes all they would ever have to eat is cabbage.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they could afford.
Afford, yes.
And at that time, that was really something. And
mm-hmm.
someone listening to that story would say, cabbage, good Lord, how did they do it? Well, if that's all you're able to get, that's
then
what
that's what you
eat.
Have. And be
but
blessed
today,
that you have it.
That's right. You're grateful for that. So.
Mm-hmm.
That happened because their dad worked at a grocery store, and the old groceries, the vegetables that they might throw out, they said, if you want any of this stuff, pick it up. And he would. He'd take it home, and his wife would fix it. So they were healthy.
Yeah.
They ate well.
Yeah.
But it was a different time, a different space, a different experience. Today, we have the good fortune of being in a country where there are so many options that we have available to us.
Mm-hmm.
And the dollar stores serve the needs of so many on
yes.
so many levels. And
yes.
we are very fortunate to be able to have those choices and options.
Yes.
And I think your book goes a long way to making the joy of cooking, food preparation on an economical basis, something that's
mm-hmm.
interesting, something that's pleasurable. And Elizabeth, your website is diningwiththedollardiva.com. Now, dollar
that's
is
correct.
Spelled out. It's not the dollar sign.
Yes.
So it's diningwiththedollardiva.com. What are they going to find in your website?
They'll find a lot of beautiful pictures. You know, in the book itself, the pictures are in black and white. But on the website, you'll actually see very bright, vibrant pictures. I do provide some recipes on it. It will give you an idea of, you know, how I came up with the ideas. It also gives you some ideas of, you know, different print art, you know, art publications. I'm sorry, art news
mm-hmm.
articles that I've been in, have interviews such as this one. You know, times that I've been on TV. That's going to be available. Also, how the idea came up. It gives you a little bit of history, a little bit of background about myself. It's really a user friendly
type of website, and I think that after, you know, accessing it, you'll have a better idea of what my passion is as far as cooking is concerned, and really, you know, cooking on, as you said, on a shoestring budget and providing delicious recipes that are nutritious and delicious and very creative. You know, and it kind of gets the reader, you know, gets them thinking of, well, okay, if you can make this with this, then could I make this with that?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Ingenuity, that's what we Americans are known for.
I like that.
So follow Elizabeth Fisher's example. Get her book, Dining with the Dollar Diva. Look for it at the local dollar store. These are Divalicious menus with ingredients costing a dollar or less. Her website, diningwiththedollardiva.com. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Elizabeth, thank you for being my guest. We'll be back in just a moment.
Thank you, Donna.
You're welcome.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Rio. I'm the author of the cutting-edge book, Hooked on Raw. I want to give you and your loved ones the gift of optimum health. So when you order my book, Hooked on Raw, which has over 350 delicious, healthy recipes, I'll include my new DVD, What's Not Cooking in Rio's Kitchen, for a half price. Just go to my website, rawfoodinfo.com, and click on Holiday Special. That's rawfoodinfo.com. Click on Holiday Special.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open. If you'd like to give me a buzz, I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. The telephone number to call into, and this is toll-free worldwide, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. I really enjoyed having Elizabeth on, and I have a tremendous empathy for people that have gone through tough times. I have. I've seen them. I can remember a time when I only had like a dime in my pocket to be able to buy food. And at that time, candy bars were 3 for a dime. The stores would have a sale. And I can remember that's all I could afford to get in the way of food. And I know there are so many people today that are going through similar circumstances. I don't care what your age is. Hard times can hit anybody at any time. But when you can learn about how you can feed yourself and how you can eat good food, and she gives a lot of good tips in there. And one of the tips that she had in her book was to get to know your local produce distributors. And I know here in the Pacific Northwest, we have some stores that are supplied by different vegetable producers around the area, different farmers. And it is something that many times you can get real good buys on things if you go at the end of the day. And I learned this years ago. And you can find that maybe there's stuff that's spoiling, they need to get rid of it, and maybe you pay 50 cents for a bushel of something, and maybe you go through half of that bushel, and you find that most of it has to, half of it has to be thrown away, but there's half of it that's still good. I did that once with peaches. And I know this sounds a little corny when I'm saying it, but I'm talking about this because it's important for us to realize that tough times are just tough times. They're not going to last forever. And when you have to be resourceful, then you learn how to use food differently, or you learn where to go so you can get food so that then you can prepare it so you can eat it. And I can remember once stopping at a store, and they had what were called Cadillac peaches. Now, if you've ever had Cadillac peaches, they are absolutely awesome. They're one of the most succulent, savory peaches you could ever want to have. Well, they had, at this particular produce market, they had like a bushel of them, and they were just rotting. And you could buy whatever they had left, and I got about a bushel of these peaches, and I thought, how am I going to fix this? What am I going to do with this? Because this is good fruit. So I went home, and as it turned out, it was an evening, and when I found out about this, the next day, that's when I had to roll up my shirt sleeves and figure out what I was going to do, so I figured out I was going to fix preserves. I had the sugar, and I used almonds along with it, made peach preserves that were to die for. They were just wonderful. They were given as gifts to friends, and again, it's being alert. Now, a lot of you may say, gee, I don't have it that bad. Well, that's wonderful. But remember, we can always become much more resourceful about doing things and appreciate the fact that we do have so much abundance in this country due to our infrastructure and the fact that we have a lot of committed people that are wanting to bring us what they have in the best way possible. So don't give up on being resourceful. Tough times usually teach you a resiliency that you otherwise wouldn't have. We've got a caller on the line. By the way, if you want to give me a buzz, 888-815-9756 is the number to call into. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
And where are you calling in from?
I'm calling from a city called Fredericton, which is about an hour from the main border in Canada.
In Canada? Oh, my goodness. Are you laden with snow?
Oh, we got a bit yesterday, but it's not too bad. There's about maybe 3 or 4 inches of snow.
Oh, hey, that's what we had a couple of days ago. And it was really brisk and cold out here in the Pacific Northwest. And then all of a sudden we got a warm current in. Snow's all gone. It's just absolutely amazingly warm. We're at 50 degrees today. That's hard for us to believe. But that's the Pacific Northwest. So what's your first name or initial, please?
My first name is Stephen. My middle initial is T.
Okay. Well, Stephen, let me give you some information, and then you're welcome to ask a question. There is, first of all, a need for you to not get so anxious about seeing the results that you're earnestly hoping for. What I'd like for you to do is put it out there. If you have to put it up on a piece of whiteboard or write it on a big piece of paper, this is my big aha, whatever it might be, then I want you to let that be, and then I want you to look at maybe the small things you can do until you get to that big aha, whatever, again, it might be. And the reason I'm saying this to you is that there are a series of circumstances that are around you that you have absolutely no control over, no control over at all. And because of that, if you focus on what isn't working, you're not going to recognize opportunity when it comes up and shake hands with him. So I want you to be aware that you've got about a month to 6 weeks here that are going to be sort of trying your patience. And if you'll say, wait a minute, I'll focus on what is in front of me and what I can do with what I'm wanting to achieve, then I'll do that. And I'm not going to let frustration overpower my thinking, my focus, my concentration. I just won't let that happen. You've got a real desire to make a big change in your life, and it's going to take you some time to bring that change about, and I think it's better that it's coming a little bit slower than what you would like, because I think you're cleaning up a lot of unnecessary stuff in your life, and without having the slower patterning, you're not going to be able to get rid of what I call the dross. You don't want to have this stuff around. So whether it's managing your money better, whether it is getting rid of old records that have been stacked in the garage for 25 years, it doesn't make any difference what it is. Whatever those loose ends are, make a list of them and take them one at a time, however you want to do it. Take advantage of the next 4 to 6 weeks so you can get things done. And I think you're going to be very satisfied with the outcome. Do you have a question for me?
Yes. Actually, can I just comment a little bit?
Oh, please do. Please do.
I just want to let you know how what you said really hits the mark, because I'm writing my master's thesis right now in conducting research. And research, of course, there's a lot of ups and downs in the process. And I do use a whiteboard all the time to work out what I'm doing. Sometimes the results aren't always what we want, but those are still the results, and we have to accept them, and that's what goes into the writing. Actually, my question was about something else, but that's right on. I am cleaning things up in my life, too, so that's very much appropriate. Improving my health and all kinds of things.
Good for you.
My question is actually, oh, thank you. My question is actually if you see anything in my romantic life this year.
Not really. And don't take that in a negative format. I think one of the things that you're working through right now, and believe it or not, your master's thesis is really going to help you get some clarity about yourself and about your life and really where you want it to be. You have not had, to be perfectly honest, as I am seeing it, very much time for social life. You have had various responsibilities, and I think completing your master's thesis, getting that degree is important. But one of the things that is coming through to you many, many times is a desire to do some traveling. And you really have wanted to be able to orient yourself into a professional environment where you feel like you make a difference and you would like to work with people from different cultures. So in as much as I'm looking at that as part of the bigger picture, I think that you need to make it okay that this year you may not meet the woman that you would love to have as a partner, but I do think you're going to have the opportunity to have some social activities that will lend itself to that in patterning that will bring you in contact with a woman who is going to really be the person. I mean, I don't think you'll know her, but just for a few weeks, and you're going to realize, this is a woman that I really would want to share my life with. Now, I think you're going to date for about a year or so, but I don't think you're going to meet her this year. I think you're going to have the opportunity to date different individuals, but you really aren't going to have a heck of a lot of time available. You're just not. You're really going to have to focus on your loose ends, get things in order, and then I think as you lighten up and you see how much ground you have covered, you're then going to be coming into an environment where you're going to be meeting women who are going to be in a comfort zone of being with you. In other words, mentally, spiritually, physically, and emotionally, there is really going to be a sense of comradeship. There's going to be this sense of, gee, I can really talk to this person. It's really going to be quite nice. I think you are going to find yourself realizing what it really is that you want in a partner. You have ideas at this time, but they're not the ideas about you as you really are as a person. And I think that's what this thesis is going to help you pull out of yourself. Am I making sense?
Yes, I think so. Perhaps it'll make more sense when I look back on it later.
Well, don't worry about it, because yes, there is going to be that special lady. But you'll have a chance to date. You'll have a chance to go out with different ladies, and there's just going to be that moment. I would say it's closer to a year and a half from now.
Okay.
When she's going to be coming into your space. But you're not ready for her, and she's not ready for you yet.
That's probably true.
And that's all right. There's nothing wrong with that. It's okay. Well, Stephen, I want to thank you for calling in.
Oh, thank you. I just wanted to say I used to work in a dollar store when I was younger.
Oh, did you?
I enjoyed
really?
The speak of that.
Oh, wasn't she fun? Elizabeth is just such a doll, and her book is wonderful. So I just think
it's
great.
I'll have to check it out.
All right, sir. You have a wonderful day.
Okay,
this
thanks.
Is Donna Siebel, and we're going to be taking a break for a minute. Hey, if you'd like to call in, 888-815-9756. We're going to be back in just a minute.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Siebel. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Siebel's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Siebel's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Siebel and illustrated by Ed Gedros. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Rio, host of the Hooked on Raw radio show on rawenergyradio.com. If you're interested in the raw and living food lifestyle, along with the real story of what's happening to our health freedoms, and you don't mind a little controversy, listen to my radio show and podcasts on rawenergyradio.com. Each week, we interview guests and cover topics you won't hear on mainstream radio. Get informed, healthy, and involved. rawenergyradio.com.
Donna Siebel publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. I want to tell you tomorrow I have a lady that I am looking so forward to having as a guest. She has written a book called Triumph and Hope. Now, Barbara Jo is a woman that is 72 years young. I believe that's her age at this time. She is still involved with the Peace Corps. Now, this is a woman that decides to join the Peace Corps not in her 20s, not in her 30s. No, she does it in her 60s, and she's going strong. I'm telling you, I am just absolutely astonished at people and what they are able to achieve. And don't think just because someone starts getting into that senior citizen level, as it has been so often described, that they become a bunch of nincompoops. Far from it. This woman has been actively involved in working with people from Honduras. So, and she goes to Honduras every year. It's an amazing story, and I know you'll want to hear about it. So be sure you check in with me tomorrow. And then we have got a lady on Monday, Sylvia. She is a shaman from Peru, and we're going to be talking about her culture. She is visiting up here in the Pacific Northwest, and I met her a year ago, and I said, when you come back, I do hope you'll give me the opportunity to have you as a guest on my show. Well, here she is back in the U.S. in January, and I'm going to have her live on the air, and we're going to find out not only about her culture, about some of the practices about the shamanic people in Peru, but also about the coca leaf. Now, there is so much about this phenomenal plant that I didn't have a clue about. Well, she will educate us. And then, now week from, or next Tuesday, I should say, we're going to be talking with Fred Haney. He has written the most adorable book, My Doggy Says, and Their Messages from Jamie. Oh, it's just delightful. Then Gina Massino. This woman has written a book, Intimacy After Breast Cancer. Breast cancer has just been a phenomena. I mean, we all know about the marches. We know about so many things. But how often do people talk about what is life after you have a double mastectomy or you're dealing with these issues and you're going through all of these different treatments? How do you have a life that comes together? Well, we're going to find out about that. And then The Art of Navigation, Felix Wolf is going to be my guest. This is a wonderful book about areas of development of the mind. And then Jeffrey Raisley is going to be my guest a week from tomorrow, Bringing Progress to Paradise. This is a world traveler, and he talks about how places in the world are changing due to technology and what is bringing it all about. So we've just got some wonderful guests. So tell your friends, and remember, if you miss a show, you can always go into the archives. And, hey, you don't have to worry about that. Pretty soon we're going to be having the opportunity, if you wanted to download a show onto your iPod, that's going to be possible. So a lot of good things are happening. Quick like a bunny, I want to share with you a story about the wife of Ulysses S. Grant. Yes, a very, very famous historical figure. She awakened on April the 14th, 1865, with an overwhelming feeling that she and her husband should get out of Washington, D.C. as soon as possible. It was so strong. Her insistence was so dynamic that Mr. and Mrs. Grant left that very day, even though it meant they were going to stand up President Abraham Lincoln's invitation to the theater. Big deal. They didn't care. She said, "We are out of here." She was right. Grant would have been killed if he had stayed. The reason he was not killed by John Wilkes Booth, because Grant would have been sitting with the president, was because he wasn't there. In Booth's papers, they found that Grant was on the hit list. They knew who was coming. So, dreams? Pay attention to them? I think so. I think that's a good idea. Now, there's a wonderful story that Marguerite sent me, and I thought I would share it with you with the remaining time we've got. It's Five More Minutes is the title of it, and perhaps you've heard it. At a park one day, a woman was sat down next to a man on a bench near a playground, and she said, "That's my son over there," and she pointed to a little boy in a red sweater who was gliding down the slide. And the gentleman responded, "What a fine-looking boy, and that's my daughter on her bike." Then he looked at his watch, and he called out to his daughter, "What do you say we go, Melissa?" And his daughter said, "Oh, Dad, please, just five more minutes, Dad, please, 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 five more minutes." Well, Dad nodded, and Melissa continued to ride her bike to her heart's content. Minutes passed, and the father stood and called again to his daughter, "Time to go now." And the daughter said, "Oh, Dad, please, not yet. Five more minutes, Dad, please, just five more minutes, only five more minutes." And he said, "Okay." And the woman complimented him. She said, "My goodness, you are such a patient father. I don't see many men responding that way." And he smiled. He said, "You know, her older brother, Tommy, died last year in an accident. I never spent much time with my son, and now I'd give anything for just five more minutes with him. I vowed not to make the same mistake with Melissa." She thinks she's got five more minutes to ride her bike. The truth is, I get five more minutes to watch her play. The story is a poignant one. Being mindfully present with what you're doing and with where you are makes a difference. And this father, because of an illness, a child was taken from him. But he realized that he could give the time to the child that was still with the family. This is Donna Sebo. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Join me and Barbara Jo for a story about a woman that's got a lot of pluck and a willingness to continue to stay busy and active and making this world a better place. Barbara Joy is going to be with me tomorrow. Hope you can join me. You are the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Siebel. Have a magnificent day or evening, and I'll be right here, same time, same place, talking with you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.